John 21. I looked last week on the thought of more than these. Let's read again, beginning in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter agreed because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I looked last week at the fact of there's a command involved with this love. Now, Jesus knows that his life is coming to an end. He is speaking to really applies to all the disciples, but he speaks directly to Peter. He is getting ready to leave, and when he leaves, his ministry falls to the disciples. They are to do what he has been doing. They are to share the gospel. They're to live the gospel. They're to tell others about Jesus and salvation and forgiveness. They are to live. They are to demonstrate what Jesus did. And Peter, of course, had very lows in his life and some very highs in his life. The lowest of the lows, I suppose we could say without any fear, is when he denied the Lord three times. And Jesus here speaks directly to Peter. It is not by coincidence or accident that he asked him three different times, Do you love me? There is no doubt about it. Peter thinks about his three denials when Jesus asked. It says it grieved Peter. That speaks more than just the fact that Jesus kept asking. It speaks to the fact that Peter connected that denial with this question about loving him. For he knew his denial revealed a lack of love, a failure of love, not just dedication, but of love. Jesus knew and Peter knew that there was a love problem with Peter and all the disciples, by the way, with me and you. We don't love him enough. We talked this evening about more than these. He said, Do you love me more than these? I've already said some believe it means the fish, his career. Do you love me more than your career? But I believe, as I mentioned last week, he is saying, Do you love me more than these other disciples? You have made the claim in the past that if they fail me, Jesus was saying, Peter, you said if they fail me, you never would. You made that stand, that promise, but you failed. I want to ask you, you claimed to love me more. Do you love me more than these? I say this evening, one of our lacks, one of our needs, I put myself at the top of the list, is to love him more than we do. The command involved with this love. He said, Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, do what I say. And if we are really in love with him, we will do what he says, and his commandments are not grievous. We will gladly do what he asks us to do if we love him like a young couple. The man does for the lady does for the man gladly. Some of it may be hard and strenuous, but they don't care because they love each other. That's the kind of labor it is for the Christian who loves God. The command involved, but also the comparison involved. He said, Do you love me more than these? What do you love the most? Is it the Lord that you love the most? I want to move on a little bit this evening and say the closeness that's involved. He said in verse 15, "Lovest thou me?" He is talking here about something more than just service, even though that's included. He is talking more than just some mechanical agreement, like a boss gets an agreement from an employee, or the master gets an agreement from the slave. The slave says, "I'll do what my master says because he's my master." That has nothing to do with love. And that has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about here. The word that Jesus used here in verse 15 is the verb form of agape. It is the same word in John 3:16 where it says, "For God so loved the world." The verb term of love. It is a full love, a complete love, a non-lacking love. It is a perfect love. It is a love without flaw. It is not a selfish love. It is a selfless love. And that's what Jesus is asking Peter. By the way, he asked us the same question. It is a searching question. It's a difficult question to have to answer. But he asked us anyway. I'm talking tonight about the closeness involved. He talks about a real close relationship that has a real close communion. The kind of love that God has for us, for God so loved the world. That love is the kind of love He wants us to express back to Him, to return back to Him. That's not an easy thing, that's a difficult thing, even when we talk about loving Him. Because we are human, we are flawed, we have mixed things in this world that carries our thoughts and our actions and our attentions. So He says, "Do you really love me?" This kind of love is not based on merit or worth or actions. God does not say, "If you'll treat me right, I will love you." That's human love. "If you do right, I will love you. I love you because you are worth so much." That's not what He says to us. We are worthless. We are vile. We are loveless. But He still loves us. And Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you love me that way? Do you love me that much?" It is the closest thing that we can have in this world that's real love. Because we are in a flawed world with flawed bodies, with flawed minds. I will say this, we should love Him like He loves us because He loves us like He does. We first love Him because He loved us. He first loved us. I tell you, He has loved us. His kind of love, He wants us to love Him like He loves us. Let me spend just a couple of seconds on that. He wants us to love Him like He loves us. That's not too much to ask. His love for us is a secure love. You don't have to wonder if God's going to stop loving you. You cannot, and I do not want to get us thinking, but there's not a thing we can do to get Him to stop loving us. Now, we can do things that anger Him, but He will love us just as much. He will never, ever stop loving us. It is a secure love. You'll never get a Dear John letter from God. "I'm sorry, but I don't love you anymore. I have met somebody else. That won't be true of your God." It's a secure love. I think about the example we find in the Bible by the man of Hosea. Hosea loved Gomer, but Gomer was not the kind that returned that love to Hosea. They got married. She played the harlot. I believe she stopped that, and they got married and had three children, and she ran off and went back into the same lifestyle. And Hosea, instead of saying, "Good riddance, live your life as you please," his love pushed him to go buy her back. and restore her. That's the kind of love God has for us. Oh, when we fail Him, it grieves Him, but He loves us just as much. It's a secure love, and that's the kind of love He wants us to have. A steadfast love, listen to this. Even when He does things that hurts us, we still love Him. Even when He doesn't answer the prayer, even when we can't explain it and He doesn't explain it, we're to still love Him. That's the kind of love He wants us to have, and we should have for Him. It's not only a secure love, His love for us is a selfless love. That's a difficult kind of love. The love that's easy is when you get it repaid. And you're good to them, and they're good to you, and you treat each other right, and everything goes smooth. I guess there's a possibility of that somewhere in this world. You have to get with me to let me know about that. A selfless love. This kind of love is a love that it will cost you because you love them like you do, because there's going to be a time they will wrong you. They will mistreat you. And God, I said it before, even though we do wrong Him and do mistreat Him and do ignore Him, He still loves us. It is a selfless love. I say it again, He does not require something from us before He loves us. What a God that is. And that's the kind of God and the kind of love He wants us to have for Him. A secure love and a selfless love and a sacrificial love. John 15, 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Talk about sacrificial love. Jesus gave His all. He gave His life. He hung on the cross to show John 3, 16 is the truth. God the Father loved us and God the Son loved us. Because of the cross, we have that proof. And that's the kind of love He wants us to have for Him, a sacrificial love. And all that I have mentioned this evening already about this love leads us to one thing. At least one thing I want to mention. It leads us to worship. It leads us to praise. It leads us to, here's my word, closeness. That we're not satisfied with a distant relationship. That we're not content with just knowing God and serving Him like a slave and a master. But that we might know Him in an intimate way, like father and son, like shepherd and sheep, like husband and wife, as He shows in the Bible. I'm talking about a closeness is involved. He said, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Oh, listen. I speak often about us walking with the Lord and keeping Him on our mind all day long and talking to Him. Remember Ralph, my old friend that I made up? And I've told you 1,000 times how I talked to Him throughout the day, even though He wasn't there. And I have made the point over and over and over. That's how our relationship and fellowship needs to be with God. Every day, all day, we're aware of His presence. Oh, but that ain't what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about a specific time where we set aside everything and we give this time to God. The time in our prayer closet. The time we go alone with Him. My God deserves that. I am glad I can talk to Him throughout the day. I'm glad I can talk to Him while I drive the car, while I'm weeding at the house, while I'm studying, while I'm doing anything throughout the day. I'm glad I can wake up at night and talk to Him from my bed. I'm glad I can talk to Him anytime, and He will hear and He will help and answer. But He deserves more than just a brief moment of me talking to Him while I'm busy doing something else. Oh, the kind of closeness, the kind of love that I'm talking about is a love that draws us to Him. Remember when you first got married? I hope it's still the same. You just couldn't wait to see them again. You'd take her home, and before you got back to the house, you was already missing her. He'd let you out, and you'd think, oh, no, I can't live till I see him again. Do you remember that? Think way back. Think about that. Well, that's the kind of love that I'm talking about tonight, a kind of love that says, I just want to spend time with them. I know I'm supposed to, but ain't because I have to, I want to. I know I need to because I need his help, but it ain't because I need to, I want to. Here's what the Bible says about things like that. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I'm like that thirsty deer that's been chased by the hunter, tired and thirsty and hot, and I've got to have water or I'll die. That's the attitude that we should have. Oh, God, I need you. Yes, I need you, but I want you. I want you. I long to spend time with you. That's the closeness I'm talking about with this love that the Lord is talking about. Psalmist said in Psalm 42, verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Psalm 63, 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, longeth for thee, longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. A.W. Tozer said this, come near to the holy men and women of the past, and you will soon feel the heat of their desire after God. They mourned for him. They prayed and wrestled and sought for him by day and night, in season and out. And when they had found him, the finding was all the sweeter for the long seeking. That was in his book, Pursuit After God. Seeking him, longing for him, because we love him. Not just because we need him. Yes, we do. Not because we got to. Surely we should, but because we want to, because we love him. We enjoy that time together. It boils down to two things. This time I'm talking about boils down to two things. You could probably guess them. Number one, Scripture. I'm talking about spending time with him, speaking to him, him speaking to me, closeness. He speaks to me through the Scripture. I open this book. You can open this book and God will speak to you. This is more than a book. This is more than a manual. This is more than a map. This is a love letter, an instruction book, sure. A manual, yes. A commanding book, yes. But it's a love letter from our God. And we can look at it and it can speak to us. I say again, he can speak to us. And loving him makes us want to hear him more. Let him speak to us more. That means time in the Scripture. I checked today. I had not checked in a good while. The survey that I read today of churchgoers, 19% read their Bible daily. That is sad but true. We are so often so busy, so preoccupied that we feel like we don't have time. I say the real explanation may just be we just don't love him as we should, and we don't want to hear from him as we need, and we ignore him. I'm sure we do not intend to. We do not mean to neglect him. We do not want to hurt him, but in the process of neglecting him, we do hurt him. We talked this evening about loving him more than these. A closeness involved, which brings us to a time of worship and listening to him and talking to him. I mentioned first Scripture. I mentioned secondly supplication, which means we talk to him, prayer. He talks to us through the Scripture. We talk to him through prayer. I can talk to God. I can talk to God right now. But I need to talk to God regularly throughout the day and night. We need to spend time, separated time, specific time, set aside time with the Lord, because we need that closeness. We need that communication. Prayer is more than asking and receiving. Oh, if it was only that, it would be so difficult, so drudging, so hard, so boring. Asking and receiving from God get boring? Yes, it can. Oh, but if we will go to Him and say, Lord, this is Your time. I thank You for listening to me. I thank You for being there. I thank You for being my Father. Thank You that I'm saved. Thank You for a Bible. Thank You for a church. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, speak to me, and then stop, be quiet, and listen. Oh, if we go to Him not being in a hurry, it changes our prayer life. If we go, certainly we can be broken, and certainly we can beg, if you will. We can pour our petitions and unload our needs. There's no doubt about that. He tells us to do all that. Oh, but there is an overriding truth of this. I can just talk to Him. I can commune with Him. I can be close to Him because He wants to be close to me. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Supplication is more than just asking and receiving. It's communing and talking and listening. Not even because of gratitude. He's been so good to me, I want to talk to Him. That's good. Not because of obligation. I got to. He tells me to. Not because of fear. If I don't, I won't get what I need. Oh, those things have their place. But because I love Him, I want to spend time with Him. Can I end my thoughts this evening by saying three things? This time of showing our love to Him by communing with Him, showing our closeness to Him. By the way, it's not just a showing our closeness to Him. By doing what I'm talking about tonight will make us closer. It will create a closeness that we cannot have any other way. It will put a relationship and a fellowship in between us and our God that we can have no other way. No other way. It cannot happen if we don't have this time that I'm talking about. I say number one, it's needed. Look at the first couple of the Bible. The first couple that God ever created. And you'll find that God went to them in the cool of the day. I have often wondered, does that mean two times a day, early and evening? I don't know. But I know this, God had a desire, I'm talking about, God had a desire to be close to them. He could have shouted from heaven His commands down to that couple. He could have communicated to them through the animals, but He wanted to be close. He came in some kind of form where they could look at and talk and see and commune with. It's something they needed, and so it is with us. We need this time. We need this time. We need this time because this world we live in wears us down. Wears us out, overwhelms us, beats us down, weakens us, distresses us, overwhelms us. And we need the closeness, communication, where we can get the help we need from our God. We need it. This time is needed. Not only does the world wear us down, but our flesh pulls us down. This old flesh inside, it is not uplifting. It does not pull us toward God. It pulls us away from God. It cares nothing about God or what I'm talking about tonight. So we need this time of closeness because our flesh will get the best of us if we don't get help somehow. And this is one way to do it. Spending time with Him. It settles you in times of storms. I have talked this week, nobody here, with someone that was almost out of control because of their circumstances. And I told them what I tell everybody, what I have told maybe you. Find a time, get alone with God, and tell Him, and worship Him, and spend time with Him. We think that's just too simple. That's how God helps us. I know it doesn't fix everything. I know it doesn't make problems disappear. I know it doesn't make the sun shine every time. But I promise you, one way that God has established that we get help is by talking to Him and going to Him. The Bible is full of this. Casting all your care upon Him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives you rest in the midst of the storm. We need it. He warms our cold heart. He gives us strength when we're weak. He revives us when we get satisfied. He refreshes us when we get stale. Only God can do that, and He does it by us spending time with Him. Number one, it's needed. Number two, it's nice. I've said this a million times. That's exaggerating. It's only been about 995,000. There have been so many times I have gone before the Lord, and it seemed so dry and dead and empty. And I kept on talking and kept on praying and kept on waiting and tried to keep on listening. In a matter of minutes, sometimes 2 minutes, sometimes 10, sometimes 45, all of a sudden things break loose. All of a sudden I sense His presence. All of a sudden I can sense Him talking to me. There's a communication. It opens up and I say over and over, oh, this is it. This is it. This is it. This is the secret. And it is the secret. It's not only needed, it's nice. There ain't nothing better on earth than to get along with the Lord and get connected. I used to say, this is preachery, that I wanted to die in the pulpit while I was preaching. Well, I don't know how that'd make y'all feel. Some of y'all probably say, finally. But I don't want to anymore. If I have my choice of when I die, I want to be on my knees praying. I want to be talking to my God. I want to be, as it will, looking up like Stephen did. And he says, well, just come on home. I'm talking about it's nice. There ain't nothing sweeter on earth when you get connected to God in the throne room. Don't hurry in your prayers. It is laborsome, it is draining, it is difficult to just go and lay out petitions and jump up. It's needed, it's nice. Sadly, it's neglected. This wonderful time that Jesus is no doubt speaking of, He says, do you love me? And now He did not spell out what I'm saying this evening about the particular time of talking to Him personally. But closeness is involved with that word, do you love me? And closeness for us in this world means a lot of things, but one thing it means more than any is the time we spend with Him, loving Him. It's something we neglect. I do not understand. I do not know. Do we not see the need? One thing that burdens my heart and pushes me to prayer is looking around and seeing you hurting, and seeing lost people that I know of, and seeing backslidden people, and seeing this country, and seeing what's going on. It pushes us, if we will let it, to our knees. It's neglected. I don't know why we neglect this time. Perhaps we don't see the need. Perhaps we don't see that we don't love Him as we should, since that's my subject for this evening. Perhaps we neglect it because we get so busy. But the sad thing about it is, much of what we are doing, even though some is important, I don't think any of it is important as our time we spend with Him. We get so preoccupied. I suppose I would have to say also, Sometimes we neglect it because we just simply don't want to do it. If we ever really get connected, we want to do it. Jesus said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" I've mentioned two or three things tonight. It's been on my heart to mention the closeness involved. If we love Him, we will see the need to be close to Him, but we will want to be close to Him. And one way we experience that closeness is by Him talking to us through the Scripture and us talking to Him through supplication. That's summarized by spending time with Him. Father, thank You for Your Word. Oh God, stir in our hearts a love for You. Show us, Lord, where we fail, where we lack. May we look to You for the help we need, but more than that, Lord, oh God, help us to love You so much that we long to spend time with You and that we love to spend time with You. Stir that in my heart and others, Lord, all of us. Help us as Your children to really want to and do what I've mentioned tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.